Our fourth argument this morning is Escobar against Holder.
May it please the court, Alex Bunny-Sign, sir.
Generally, that people's adversaries manage to find a seat. Mr. Bonisanz.
Counsel for the petitioner, Sergio Escobar. Mr. Escobar's case follows in a long line of Colombian asylum cases that involve FARC, a militant Marxist guerrilla group that has plagued Colombia with violence for over the past 40 years. The immigration judge in this case found Mr. Escobar's testimony credible and actually granted him asylum. The board reversed, but did nothing to disturb the favorable credibility findings of the IJ. Instead, it wrote an opinion that ignored Seventh Circuit precedent and failed to consider important elements of Mr. Escobar's claims and evidence.
But Mr. Bonisanz, if we were to agree with you on the severity of the treatment that Mr. Escobar has already experienced and so on, that would allow us to focus in on the question of group. And you've suggested a couple of groups, but they seem... I'm not sure whether you're arguing that they overlap and he's, you know, a trucker who sympathizes with the national liberation, with the Liberal Party, or whether somehow truckers who've once opposed are your group. So I would appreciate your addressing group.
Sure. With respect to the social group claim, his social group presented as truckers who refuse to cooperate with FARC and who have collaborated with law enforcement authorities.
But why isn't that something that's really FARC-dependent? I thought... The need to show that FARC was involved suggests that it's not an independent standing group.
Your Honor is correct that the social group may not be defined solely in the relationship to the persecutor. But Mr. Escobar's social group has two distinct components. The first is his occupation and shared experiences of being a trucker, which actually has nothing to do with FARC and is FARC independent. And then the second, which is his past activity of refusing to cooperate with them, his resistance activities. So it's not defined solely in relationship to the persecutor, and therefore it is not barred on that basis.
I understand that if you just tried to say he was a trucker, that doesn't work because somebody can change professions. You don't have to remain a trucker forever. If you're a trucker who in the past has opposed FARC, you begin to look a little bit more like the attorneys general in Sepulveda or some of these other cases. But you see the problem, because it seems to me you really, in some sense, are arguing for a blended standard. Member of the Liberal Party, you know, trucker who was picked on right after he went to a rally, for example.
Right, and you're correct that there are elements of his Liberal Party membership in this case as well. He was relatively prominent, not because he was a political officer in the Liberal Party, but because he took on what would be a relatively high-profile activity of transporting members in rural areas with his truck, which is highly visible to FARC. And his first abduction did happen after he was doing that activity. So that is a part of this case as well, Your Honor. But as Your Honor did point out, if he had simply presented the social group of truckers, this would be similar to the case of Matter of Acosta, where the social group was taxi drivers. And the board found in that case that the person could have just switched jobs. That is not an option that is open to Mr. Escobar, given his past resistance activities. Even if he were able to go back to Colombia and find another job, he would likely be found by FARC and persecuted by them further. This type of social group is not novel in this circuit. In Orihuela, this court considered the social group of wealthy landowners that opposed FARC and found that it satisfied the particular social group requirements of the INA and the board's precedents. Here it's truckers that opposed FARC, and the outcome should be the same. This case also, as Your Honor notes, bears similarities to Sepulveda. In that case, this court recognized that former employees of the Attorney General's office could not change their former membership and avoid persecution by FARC. Similarly, Mr. Escobar cannot change his past membership in a group defined in part by its resistance to FARC.
What extent does your case depend on the fact that Mr. Escobar is a pre-Real ID Act applicant? Your burden is not to show a central reason. It's just, what do you think?
That is correct. A mixed motive analysis would apply in this case, as it is a pre-Real ID Act case.
So how minor does the contribution of the group have? How low can you go before you're just off the chart?
That's a good question, Your Honor. I believe that the evidence in this record is overwhelming. He has presented evidence, for instance, from the UN High Commissioner on Refugees reports, says truckers are singled out for persecution in Colombia. In addition to that highly dispositive evidence, he's included letters from similarly situated truck drivers who opposed FARC, a letter or a death certificate of another who was not able to make it out, along with a declaration by a family member that he was killed for opposing FARC. An expert affidavit from Professor Mark Chernick at Georgetown University, who has studied FARC extensively for 20 years in Colombia. He specifically considered Mr. Escobar's situation and concluded that he would be in grave danger were he to return to Colombia. There's also a State Department country report on human rights that discusses the dire consequences for those who oppose FARC, news agency reports of attacks against truckers, and additionally his own testimony, which the IJ and the BIA both found credible. So I don't think this is a marginal case. A mixed motive analysis does apply, as it's pre-Real ID, but the evidence in this in the record is overwhelming. Turning momentarily, for similar reasons, the issue of nexus is subject to a different standard of review, but the evidence is overwhelming with regard to social group. I'd like to turn to past persecution for a moment as well, as if we are able to establish past persecution, there is a presumption that he will be subject to persecution in Colombia were he to return as well, and it would be the government's burden to rebut that presumption. The circuit has repeatedly chastised the BIA for considering evidence of persecution in isolation rather than in context. This error is particularly egregious when, as here, an asylum applicant presents a claim of cumulative persecution, which requires an analysis of the pattern of escalating harm that an individual has suffered. Now, Mr. Escobar suffered several distinct harms, including detention at gunpoint several times, hijackings of his truck using threats of force and death. After he went into hiding, he suffered threats to his life and property, and finally, carrying through on those threats by burning his trucks in a public display. Now, both the BIA and the government analyze the above set of harms in isolation and find precedents that hold that alone they would not constitute persecution. However, they form a coherent pattern of persecution by FARC and must be analyzed as such. After Mr. Escobar went into hiding, FARC threatened his property and his life. When he refused to come out of hiding, they set his trucks ablaze in a public display. Mr. Escobar knew that his life would be next and did what I think most of us would do. He fled. Just because FARC was not able to get to him before he fled does not make his situation any less serious or the harms he suffered not rise to the level of persecution.
How soon after his flight did he talk to the reporter in Miami?
I do not know the exact amount of time it was, but yes, he did talk to the reporter who then referred him to the DEA agents and the FBI agents, and he later met with FBI agents here in Chicago as well. There is an affidavit from his attorney at the time who accompanied him to the meeting that verifies that meeting. So in addition to he did file a complaint in Colombia as well. A verification of that is in the record. So the resistance activities and cooperation with law enforcement are well documented both in Colombia and here in the United States.
It seems to me that at one point DHS was very concerned that he might have been a FARC sympathizer trying to obtain asylum when it wouldn't be available to him, of course, if he were.
Right. I'll answer this real quick and then over the rest of my time. The material support bar was an issue below. It's not before this court as the BI did not decide to address it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, counsel. Ms. Henn.
May it please the court, Stephanie Hennis for the respondent. Just to jump right in, I guess, regarding the initial questions about the social group in this case, which is truckers who have refused to cooperate with the FARC and who have collaborated with law enforcement officials. In this case, the board evaluated that group, and it relied on this court's decision in Gitimi in doing so. It relied on the language explaining that if a person can cease to belong to a group without significant hardship, then he should not be able to resettle in the United States.
But, you know, now, that's, of course, a perfectly appropriate statement of the law, but how can he uncollaborate? I mean, he's a trucker. He certainly could change his profession as a trucker, but as a former collaborator, how can he, you know, reminds me of Men in Black, you know, do the little zap and get it out of their minds.
It is true, Your Honor, that he cannot stop the fact that he had in the past refused to collaborate with the FARC.
Correct. And so it doesn't really fit the Gatimi standard very well, does it?
Well, it does fit the Gatimi standard in that he does have an additional part of his social group. He did tack on the fact that his social group consists of truckers who have refused to cooperate with the FARC.
I don't understand that, though. I mean, the point being, though, can he make a change that would remove him from the category of people that FARC are going to pursue? And if he had just come here and said, you know, truckers in Colombia have a lot of trouble, then I think that probably would have been dismissed even before the immigration judge and certainly before the board, because he could have, you know, become a lawyer or something. But he can't erase the collaboration. So as I understand it, his argument is, I can't fix things by stopping to be a trucker because my past status is fixed, just as in Sepulveda.
Well, it is true that his past status as someone who refused to cooperate with the FARC is fixed. But this Court's other decisions, as a matter of fact, Tapiero, Day,
Orjuela.
Yes, exactly. In that case, the Court did come to the conclusion that wealthy landowning cattle farmers who were targeted by the FARC or who had opposed the FARC were a social group. But in doing so, the Court relied on the fact that in matter of Acosta, there was language indicating that a shared experience such as land ownership would be what would put something in the realm of a social group. In addition to that, the fact that a person could come to the United States and say, I refuse to cooperate with whatever sort of group, or just that I refuse to cooperate with any sort of group, or that I was targeted by a particular group, and then attach on some sort of modifier like a profession or a physical attribute, would then significantly expand the reach of the social group basis for asylum.
Well, it might. Without all of the evidence in the record suggesting that truckers were a particularly vulnerable group, and we don't have that about, you know, coffee farmers or other people, it might be quite a different case. But what about the political? I mean, I see this as almost a blended thing, because the collaboration with the government suggests a political opinion opposed to FARC. Why would you collaborate with the government? Why would you file with the police? Why would you cooperate, frankly, in any way? So there's a political opinion element, too, which is, of course, at a common sense level, exactly why FARC is going to pursue him if he goes back to Colombia.
Well, I do believe that the basis for the political opinion in this case was simply that the petitioner was a member of the Liberal Party, and not that he had refused to cooperate with the FARC based on his membership in the Liberal Party.
Well, but that's that. He has a Liberal Party argument, for sure, but he also has an argument that I'm a trucker with two characteristics. I'm a trucker, A, who's opposed FARC, and B, who's collaborated with the government. You could oppose FARC privately, presumably, but you could also oppose FARC by going to the government and trying to seek their assistance. And his argument, as I understand it, is that given the fact that FARC has already not hesitated to put a gun to his head and to burn up his truck, that to send him back will be to put him at grave risk of death or something.
Well, that is his point, that if he were sent back, that something.
Right. And is there actually any reason to think that's not true? The immigration judge, who this particular immigration judge is really not known for being soft on people, thought that there was. And I was a little surprised that the government, in other words, thought that this was true. And your footnote that you stick in cases about two layers having accepted opinions isn't appropriate here, because we had the immigration judge accepting the claim, and then we had the BIA going the other way.
That is true, Your Honor.
You should have changed the footnote. This is not an application that's been heard, considered, and rejected by two or three different agency adjudicators. Petition that was accepted by one.
You're correct, Your Honor. However, the board in this case didn't specifically address whether there would be any sort of harm that might arise if Mr. Escobar were returned to Colombia. In terms of the asylum and withholding of removal claim, it did address the fact that for purposes of a Convention Against Torture claim, there wasn't much evidence showing that there would be a probability of harm, given that Mr. Escobar's family has remained in the country, has not experienced any harm while there.
But he's not making a family-based claim. I don't know why that's relevant. Some people claim that their family is the social group, in which case that is relevant.
Well, it's relevant in that if the FARC in this case, according to Mr. Escobar, did threaten him and they threatened his family. So the fact that the family had remained there would be some evidence, without any harm, would be some evidence that the FARC weren't continuing to look for him. However, I would caution the court that that language did appear in the section of the decision regarding the Convention Against Torture. So I don't want to be suggesting that you should deny based on an aspect that the board did not rely in denying the asylum and withholding of removal claim. However, if that is a concern of the courts and the court does find that there was a nexus to a protected ground, there would need to be a remand for the board to consider whether there is a sufficient likelihood of future harm based on the evidence in the
record. If he found past persecution, I mean, one way or the other, I mean, whether you've rebutted if there's past persecution or whether he's demonstrated if it's just a future claim.
If he has established both past persecution and a nexus, then there would still need to be a remand for a rebuttal. Yes,
right.
Your Honor.
Right.
Just to touch briefly on the political opinion aspect of the claim, again, it appeared that the petitioner was focusing on his political opinion in terms of being a member of the Liberal Party. And while he did point out a few different instances that he believes are evidence that the FARC had some motivation to target him based on his membership in that group, it really just boils down to the fact that he testified that he believed that the FARC saw him at a Liberal Party meeting, that he transported some Liberal Party individuals, and that the first instance of of the FARC boarding his truck occurred after he was done dropping people off from that.
Don't you think that allows on a motivating factor basis an inference that the FARC were aware that, I mean, they apparently followed him. He was out in the middle of nowhere in Colombia.
They did not apparently follow him. Actually, the testimony indicates that he was stopped at a roadblock after he had dropped off these individuals. So really, there isn't any indication that first stop had any sort of connection to him dropping off anyone. And it did occur around 11 or 11:30 at night. It was dark. It was in order to further their criminal activity. So, and beyond that, the mere awareness of the fact that Mr. Escobar was involved with the Liberal Party is not strong enough evidence for the court to conclude that the record compels reversal of that conclusion. And I guess just in closing, I would really like to emphasize the fact that even in Tapiero, the court really did focus on the characteristic beyond being targeted in the case to come to the conclusion that a social group had been established in that case. And I would encourage the court to do the same thing in this situation and recognize that being a trucker is a fully mutable characteristic, not deeply ingrained in the conscience, and not something that the board mentioned as a possible characteristic in Matter of Acosta.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Anything further?
I'd just like to address a couple points. The government has conceded that part of Mr. Escobar's social group is fixed. It is a second element of his social group. And I'd like to just mention that the trucker element is not just tacked on here, and the concerns that it would kind of open the floodgates to a number of social groups is unfounded, because in the record there is significant evidence that truckers specifically are targeted. This is not bakers or jewelry store owners or bookstore owners. This is a group that is independently targeted. So he has provided evidence that he's targeted on the basis of both of the components of his social group. I also briefly like to talk about the material support bar. If this case were remanded, then the court would have to decide, or the board would have to decide if the material support bar applied. If they found it did apply, it would then get forwarded to USCIS for consideration of the duress waiver, which we believe that he is entitled to. I'd also like to address the issue of shared experience. Both trucking and past resistance can qualify as shared experience under Acosta, so that should not be a concern for the court either. As a result of these arguments, I would like you to grant the petition for review. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.